KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have mostly sunny skies. It's 53 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high of 75. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. In state news, Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds is asking lawmakers for $15 million from the ending balance of the current year's budget for immediate work on levees and repairs in flooded communities. She's also seeking $10 million from next year's budget to accelerate housing improvements. Reynolds announced her request Monday, saying federal money often take months or years to arrive. Reynolds also announced the creation of a flood recovery advisory board, which will coordinate state recovery efforts. She said she'll lead the panel of up to 15 people. Flooding in March damaged more than 50 levees stretching about 250 miles along the Missouri River. Reynolds said 25,000 homes were destroyed or have major damage, and more than 4,200 businesses were affected. Early damage estimates provided to the federal government for a disaster declaration total of $1.6 billion, but Reynolds said that is likely to grow. Well, the Atlantic City Council has a full agenda for their meeting 5:30 p.m. Wednesday in their chambers at City Hall. Among the topics of discussion is that which pertains to erosion issues and possible remedies for Troublesome Creek, which is seeing increased erosion near the AMU well fields, and that will eventually encroach on the trail system. Snyder & Associates' Jeff Godwin will explain the problem in more detail Wednesday and how it can be fixed. The council will then hold a public hearing on designating the urban renewal area for the Atlantic Downtown Revitalization Project as part of the required process of formally applying to the Iowa Department of Economic Development Authority for a community development block grant, Downtown Revitalization Fund. SWPCO's Alexis Fleener will be present to update the council on the project. The hearing will be followed by action on a resolution of necessity to establish the boundaries of the Atlantic Facade Improvements Phase 1 project area by identifying the district a blighted area. The council will act on a related resolution to authorize Mayor Dave Jones to make an application to the CDBG Downtown Revitalization Fund and act on an order to adopt an administrative plan for the Atlantic Downtown Revitalization Project. In other business, the council will consider a bid of $5,350 for city-owned property at 602 Spruce Street, which is the full price for the lot. They'll also hold a public hearing on the plans, specifications, and form of contract for the 2019 Palm Street Improvement Project, the 85-page document for which is available in advance by request from the city administrator. The hearing will be followed by a resolution approving the plans, specifications, and form of contract, a review of the construction bids, and awarding of the contract for the project. Among the other action items on the City Council's agenda Wednesday is setting the date of bidding for public and a public hearing for the addition of a break room to the city shed on the northwest side of town. Now, the city has set aside $100,000 for the proposed project. That does not mean it'll cost that much. It's the maximum budgeted. The council also will act on an order to approve an electrical easement for an alley off of 10th Street, east of 708 West 10th, between Birch and Mahogany Drive, as a follow-up to a request from AMU. And last but not least, the council Wednesday will hold the first reading of an ordinance amending a 2011 recodification of the municipal code enacted to assist city officials and the RAGBRAI committee in dealing with the public health and safety issues associated with the event to be held July 21st and 22nd. And the mayor will discuss the future of the Atlantic Senior Center. New developments include another party expressing an interest in the building and that the Elks may be considering another bid submission. Mayor Jones is also likely to have the matter reviewed by the Personnel and Finance Committee, according to City Administrator John Lund. Well, officials with Google on Monday launched the Google.org Impact Challenge Iowa, the tech company's first Iowa challenge, inviting nonprofits throughout the state to submit proposals for bold ideas to grow economic opportunity in their local communities. The Impact Challenge was announced at the Grow with Google Digital Skills Training event hosted by the Des Moines Public Library. Dan Harbecky, head of the Public Policy and External Affairs at Google and Council Bluffs, said that our hope with the Google.org Impact Challenge Iowa is to help Iowa nonprofits bring their great ideas to life. Iowa, he says, is an incredibly diverse state with a wide variety of issues that impact different communities and a huge amount of local talent seeking to solve unique challenges. Qualifying Iowa nonprofits are invited to submit their proposals for their most innovative ideas to grow economic opportunity in their community. Together with a panel of local judges, Google will review the applications and choose five winners who will receive $175,000 in grant funding and training from Google. After the five winners are announced, Iowans will be invited to vote on which project they believe will have the greatest economic impact. The winner of that public vote will receive an additional $125,000 in funding. In total, Google.org will grant $1 million to local nonprofit organizations. Among the Iowa Impact Challenge local advisory panel is Dr. Dan Kinney, president of Iowa Western Community College. And while the $1 million Impact Challenge is the second statewide to date after Illinois, Google.org has offered economic opportunity-focused Impact Challenge grants in larger cities such as Cleveland, Columbia, Oklahoma City, and Pittsburgh. The Impact Challenge announced Monday in Des Moines at the first stop of a three-city Grow with Google tour that includes Council Bluffs and Davenport. You can read more about that under the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. Well, former Republican Governor Terry Branstad has donated to a Republican challenging Congressman Steve King's bid for re-election. Branstad and King have been longtime allies. Two of Branstad's top 2010 campaign staffers went on to help steer King's 2012 re-election. Now Branstad has donated $1,000 to Randy Feenstra, the state senator who's running against King in the 2020 primary. King held a town hall meeting in the small community of Stanhope yesterday. He said the controversy that led Republican leaders to remove him from House committees derailed his plan to meet in January with Iowa's two new House members. King says Iowa's congressional delegation has flood recovery to work on together, and he wants to set up a meeting with Congresswoman Abby Finkenauer and Cindy Axne.
When we get geographical issues like this, they should be nonpartisan. We should lock arms and get these things done. I don't sense any friction or any pushback.
During Monday's town hall meeting, King was asked about his working relationship with the two new Democrats in Iowa's congressional delegation.
We lost two good representatives in this state. Now we have two freshmen, and we need to communicate, and I'll take that as good advice. It is, I know.
King will hold a town hall meeting in Pocahontas County later this week. The event will be held at the Lorenz Public Library on Wednesday afternoon. Democratic presidential candidate Julian Castro says the new absentee voting option for Iowa caucus goers may help to spur turnout among Iowa's Latinos and other minorities.
I do think that for some people who are uncomfortable going on one night, or they can't go there on one night because they're working, and declare their intention in front of many other people, that being able to do that absentee will ensure that more of them actually participate in the process, which would be a good thing.
Castro, who spent the past 2 days campaigning in eastern central Iowa, is 44 years old and the only Latino in the Democratic presidential race. He's been making the argument on the campaign trail that Americans are ready for a new generation of leadership.
And having served as mayor of the seventh largest city in the country, I have a track record of getting things done.
Castro was San Antonio's mayor for 5 years before he served as U.S. Secretary for Housing and Urban Development in the Obama administration. Castro recently released what he calls a people's first immigration plan. He'd significantly boosted U.S. investment to stabilize the Central American countries. Many of those seeking asylum in the U.S. are fleeing. Castro would make illegally entering the U.S. a civil offense, punishable with a fine, rather than have illegal entry continue to be a crime.
This president has tried to effectively use immigration in an emotional way to divide people. And, you know, I'm going to tell the other version of that. I'm going to tell about the human lives that are impacted and what we can be as a country if, of course, we have secure borders, but we also treat people with respect and with compassion. And I believe that there are enough people in Iowa and throughout the country that will believe in that.
Castro says immigration has helped the U.S. economy grow in the past, and the U.S. needs immigrants today to fill jobs. He formally kicked off his presidential bid in January and has raised about $1.1 million for his campaign in the first 3 months of the year. Castro says if Democrats choose him as their nominee, he will present himself as the opposite of Trump.
Even to those people who agree with this president, you know, I think you also want somebody that's being straightforward with you and being open and honest. And I would say don't mistake bluntness or vulgarity for honesty.
Like many of his competitors for the Democratic Party's 2020 presidential nomination, Castro supports the goal of Medicare for all, as well as universal preschool and renewing the federal ban on assault-style weapons. The news was brought to you this hour by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.